Our next speaker is Jan Witek from Northeastern University, who is going to talk about Can R Learn from Julia? Jan?
Yes, hello, welcome. So, can it learn from Julia? Well, we'll find out soon. So what is Julia? Julia is a dynamic language, it's object-oriented, and it is targeting scientific computing. It's got a very rich ecosystem with about 1,000 packages, and they're all open source. It's a bit like R in terms of being a dynamic language, in terms of having vectorized operations, and also being memory safe with a garbage collector. There's a number of differences between Julia and R in terms of implementation. I'll touch on those later. And there's some fundamental language design decisions that have been made differently. So what the goal of this talk is, to try to compare the design of the two languages in terms of how they support scientific computing. So Julia doesn't target statistics specifically, but it is extensible in ways that I will show you allow it to solve the same problems. So how are we going to proceed? What I want to do is take a simple example. Take the A function from the GNU-R library, picked randomly the call means function, and I'll spend a little bit of time telling you how it's implemented in R, how it was made to run fast in R, and then I'll show you how to re-implement in Julia and how to get even better performance with less code and without having to go to C. At the end, I'll try to sort of summarize by giving you a few takeaways that potentially could be transferred to R. And the codes and slides are on GitHub. All right. So the strength of R lies in the fact that it is really easy for end users to specify very complex sets of operations with a small vocabulary. It's a polymorphic language in the sense of, well, look at call means. Call means is this is a function, one term in your vocabulary, and you can use it with an array of with a two-dimensional matrix of integers, or a three-dimensional matrix of complex values, or with logicals, or with float. All of that looks pretty much the same to the end user. And this is really powerful. It's one of the advantages of R, because for end users, they can write the same code and it will work the right way. And if we can keep that in the libraries, libraries developers can also write fairly polymorphic code. So how is this actually implemented? So I'll look into the implementation of call means, and it's roughly the first five lines are very, very generic. They're computing how to traverse and the vector, how to aggregate the data. And then here at the bottom part, we're starting to specialize. Here we have to type case on whether the vector is a complex or not. And depending on whether it is, we're going to call a dot internal function. Why do we call dot internal? For speed. So call means bottoms out in this piece of C code, which you can certainly all read. And we will detail, no, we won't detail it. But fundamentally, what this does is implement a loop that has to run really fast. So I'll just give you, and it, the code is not that interesting. I'll just zip through it. The code of the C code is roughly three parts. The first part is extremely tedious. It is just getting argument from R into C variables. The second part is still quite tedious. It is sanity checking to prevent the C from crashing on you. And the last bit, has these switches. It's starting to type case on the data type. And finally, it bottoms out in this typed loop that is actually computing the sum of the values and the count and then does the division. Okay? So stepping back, the R solution is really clean and elegant for end users. And as you start to go down the library code, you're adding, you know, all of the this craft to support the polymorphism. Okay, so Julia, let's switch to Julia. And what I want to do is start with the very simplest possible Julia solution to this problem and add a few of the special cases later. So what is the very simplest solution of in Julia? Well, this is exactly this piece of code. So this is the whole implementation of the Kolmogorov function. The first five lines are exactly the same as in R, no difference whatsoever. And the bottom bit is pretty much the loop written in high-level syntax. So this is the whole same code. And I've put in green what are the syntactic differences between Julia and R, and they are really minor, right? You will probably concede that the syntax of how to define an array is a little bit different. Julia doesn't have the negative indexing, and the for loops are a little bit different, addition is a little bit different, but these are tiny, tiny differences. So this could be exactly R code, right? There is no types, nothing funny going on. This is all very simple to write. So the question is, how does this work in practice? So let's switch to a Jupyter notebook. Let me see, I'll stop this. So I have a cursor. So here's a piece of R code. What I'm doing is I'm going to take 100,000 element vector, make it two-dimensional, create an integer, a logical, a complex, and a float version, and run Kolmogorov 1,000 times. 100,000 element, 1,000 iterations. This is not a scientific experiment. We don't have time for that. It'll just give us at least a little bit of a feeling for how fast things go. So here we're printing the times, and the times are about half a second, and 2.2 seconds. So roughly for 1,000 iterations of over 100,000 elements, it's half a second in R going down to C code. Okay? Well, I could also rewrite this function in actual R, right? You know, this is the R code with a loop. Do you think this will work well? It will work well. It will not work fast, okay? It will work very well. It will take, my patience. So I tried it with the bytecode, the normal interpreter, and it took 200 seconds. So with the bytecode compiler, it takes 33 seconds. And if we're patient enough, we can wait. But I'm not patient, so we'll believe me, it takes about 30 seconds. Oh, 28 seconds to compute. All right. So half a second, 2 seconds for complexes, 30 seconds if we don't use C code. That's the story. So here's the Julia solution. So the Julia solution, we can compile the code, and now we're going to run it for integers, and it runs in 0.1 seconds. So this is nothing funky, completely vanilla Julia code that runs about 3-4 times faster than R that uses C. And I can use it, I can call the float version of this, and the float version of this runs in 0.117 seconds. I can call the complex version of this, and it goes in 0.15 seconds. Remember, the R version in the complex case was running in 2 seconds. So the float version runs 10 times faster than R without doing anything. This is the naive algorithm written in Julia with no tricks. Well, there is actually one small trick, and let me come to that. So how does Julia do it? Well, so Julia, let me go back to this. Julia has a compiler that generates native code on the fly. So every time I ran something, behind the scenes, we were talking to LLVM, pounding out native code, running that, optimizing it, running that. And there is, so the optimizations that it does combine two things. They combine the fact that Julia will specialize each function for the argument types it gets. So it gets an integer vector, it creates a version for integer vectors. It gets a float, it creates a version for floats. And then it does static analysis. And the static analysis tries to predict the type of all variables and avoid allocation and boxing. So the one trick that we have to do to get the speed is when we initialize the sum, this variable that accumulates the sum of the elements in a column, rather than initializing it to zero, what we do is we initialize to this funky function called z of x of 1. What does this do? Well, it takes the one of the elements, figures out its type, and depending on the type of the array you're getting, it will either initialize the sum with a floating point, or a complex, or an integer. And this is the only trick I have to do for speed. If I don't do this, I decrease the speed to about 2 seconds for non-integer cases. Why? Because it confuses the compiler. Now it has to allocate a variable for these cases. All right, so I've shown you that with specialization, I can get speed. With multi-dispatch, I can keep the code very pretty and elegant. It looks completely polymorphic. The special case is hidden in the Z function. There is one thing that I'm not doing. I'm cheating. I'm not handling missing values. Julia has no concept of missing values. So let's put them in, right? Just to have a fair comparison. So how will we put missing values in? So here, we're sort of leaving the terrain of completely trivial, and we're entering the terrain of slightly more interesting programming linguistic features. So in order to define missing values, I have to find a function called isNA, right? Is this element of the vector a missing value? And this is my entire implementation of isNA. isNA takes an x of some type t and compares that x to the minimal element of that type. So smallest integer, smallest floating point, and so on. Type min is a provided function, part of the base. And this gives me isNA. So I steal the lowest value of every data type, like we do in R, and this will be my NA. It turns out that type min doesn't have an implementation for complexes. I can provide it here and say, if I get a complex, just return the complex value for minus nan. So the code changes to my algorithm are trivial. I just need to add a test. Is the value NA? And if it is NA, depending whether I want to keep it or not, I will either throw away the NA or replace it with the proper NA for the sum I'm building. Yeah. All right. So that's all you have to do. And with this, you've got your missings. Well, I'm still lying a little bit. I lie a lot, right? You will realize that. So I'm still lying a little bit because I haven't taken care of logicals. Logicals are a bit tricky, right? Because they have only two value. If I steal one, what do I do, right? It leaves me with a conundrum. So I have to invent a new data type, a new logical. But the problem is logical is like something built in your VM, not in Julia. In Julia, you can invent a new data type anytime. And I will invent a new data type. And just very quickly, this is a three-way, so logical with three value. And it's a new data type, but it will be treated as if it was a built-in. I say it's 8 bits long. I say that the constant XFF is the NA. The other two, the true and false, are the same. I define three constants for my data type. I define my type min function, my equality and my addition, and I'm done. I plug this in, and now I can run. So if I'll go back to my notebook, I can run. So here's the complete code of the algorithm, and I can run it. Restart and run all. So, and this will show you also the time it takes to compile is not a real problem, right? We're compiling and we're running, and the running times are even better than before. For some reason, they're less than a tenth of a second, and the worst case is for complexes where they're 1.6 seconds, and faster. In all cases, faster, and we are handling all of R's complexity. All right, so to conclude. So what I've tried to do in this tiny talk is to give you a feeling for Julia. And I've mentioned three features of Julia that are critical for achieving this. First one is code specialization and runtime code generation. Right? Every function is specialized to its argument, runtime code generated through LLVM to native. Second time, I can define new data types, like my new logical. Third point, I have a very fast multi-dispatch, really, really fast. I mean, most of the time, it is inlined away. With all of these features, you could, if you had those in R, for instance, write your code at the source language, without having to worry about performance. So I'm doing research in programming languages, and one of the things we're trying to do is work on the first point. The points two and three to be adopted in R would require language changes, and this is where politics start, and I will leave that to better people. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. We have time for one very quick question.
Yep.
Yes,
right. The question is, does Julia work in a distributed environment? Currently not. It doesn't have any support for distribution, nor does it have parallelism built in. There, like R, it has packages for that.
Okay, let's thank our speaker again.